ask you that you, if you're able, stand. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I am now sending you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You may be seated.
Good morning. It is certainly good that each one of you are here, and we hope that you'll be with us at every opportunity. If you're visiting and with family and in from out of town, we're glad that we're a part of your visit to Mayfield this weekend and hope that your family is blessed in the time you get to spend together. It seems that pictures often capture and become larger than life the images of key events. Maybe it's the flag raisers on Iwo Jima and them hoisting up the flag and how that iconic photo came to represent so much for America in World War II. There's other images that stand through the test of time and that stand as symbols of key events. This morning I want you to consider an image that comes from the tomb of Jesus as he breaks forth into the light of day, that first day of the week when Jesus came forth from the tomb. Have you ever been in a cave? And in that cave, it seems on every tour guide, cave guide you'll go on, they'll at some point turn off all the lights because they want you to understand how dark it is in the cave. And it feels like that you could literally reach out and touch the darkness, and you cannot see the hand in front of your face because it is so dark. I want you to think about that experience. I want you to think about that darkness that was Jesus' tomb. As you consider that tomb and you think about how it was sealed and how there was no light in it, and then as Jesus' body began to have spirit within it again, and as he became life again and he was resurrected, and as that angel rolled the tomb away, I want you to picture the dawn of morning with the sun coming forth and then the breaking forth of the light as it entered that tomb. In some ways, the picture on the screen represents that moment where sunlight reached the tomb. But what I want you to understand is see that it is light breaking in to darkness. In many ways, this image that is the tomb, that is that first Sunday morning when Jesus was raised from the dead, is really the image of the work of Jesus overall, and the work that God had begun long ago in the Garden of Eden when man sinned, that light would one day break in to darkness. You see, darkness is extremely powerful. In fact, the Bible says a lot about darkness. In fact, that image of darkness in the tomb is symbolized and described even greater if you think about the earlier days before, when it was the epitome of darkness on the cross, when the Son of God, the one whom never sinned, the Lamb of God, became our sin for us. He was smitten and accursed by God, and he bore our iniquity. You see, he took upon darkness, if you will. In fact, it was such a dark time when the Son of Man was being spit upon and railed at. He was being accused of all kinds of things, and blasphemies were hurled at him, that God, the Father, caused a miracle of darkness. For 3 hours, the gospel writers say, it was darkness upon the face of the land. It wasn't supposed to be dark naturally, but God caused there to be darkness. Maybe it was because of the shame of the cross. Maybe it was because such a righteous, holy man was being hung up on a cross, possibly very immodest and naked. Maybe it was because the father did not want the man to be gawking at his son any longer, and he could turn out the lights. Maybe it was because God wanted us to know this was the hour of darkness. But it was dark. And in many ways, the world is dark. In fact, Jesus would say in John chapter 3, verse 19, when he had made that great statement about, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." A little later in verse 19, it says, "This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." Why did Jesus end up on the cross? Why is our world in such darkness even to this day? Because people loved the darkness. Darkness, of course, representing sin and all that is wrong in this world. Representing selfishness and pride and arrogance and all those things. People love darkness rather than come to the light. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul would write about darkness, and he says that there's a very real sense that Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. We live in a world that people are blinded. They're in darkness. They're living in darkness, and the world was completely in darkness until Christ, the light of the world, came. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8, notice Paul would say about the Christians there, "You were darkness." He didn't say you acted like darkness. He didn't say you had qualities of darkness. Paul said, "I want you to know something, Christians. I want you to know something, world. You were darkness." In fact, in the next chapter, chapter 6, verse 12, he describes this world as being in present darkness. As being in present darkness and being subject to the rulers who are the dark or cosmic rulers of this world and the spiritual forces of evil. We live in a world that is dark. In some ways, we might even say it's getting darker and darker. Why is it so dark, and how are we involved in darkness? More specifically, are you living in darkness? Darkness is evil works and loving evil works. Think about all the darkness that exists in our world, from all the dishonesty and lies, from the gossip and mean-spirited talk that often is characteristic of so many, the foul language and the abusive language, from the abuse of power, from the neglect and harm of the innocent, like how children are abused, from the uncontrolled discipline of our desires that leads us to abuse alcohol and drugs, or to all of our uncontrolled world's desire for sexual sins and all that havoc it's bringing upon our world, and how marriages are destroyed and children and individuals are hurt and women are raped, and all the problems that come because of darkness. And homosexuality is continuing to grow as a perversion, and darkness prevails. And people loved darkness. And people are blinded by Satan. And you are darkness. And we live in present darkness. The Pharisees and scribes and others
were described 5 times in Matthew 23 as being blind. And Jesus says, don't follow the Pharisees because you will be someone who falls into the ditch. Because if the blind follow the blind, they both will fall into the ditch. They're blind guides. Why were the Pharisees blinded? Because they were prideful and arrogant. Whenever we think we can do it on our own, whenever we think we have attained things because of all that we've done, we're blinded. Whenever we think that the world is about us, whenever we think that we're the star of the show, whenever we think that others should serve us, we're in darkness. You see, we're blinded. Whenever we think that the church is not important, that what Jesus was dying to establish and build there at the cross, His people, His body, His church, is supposed to be something just treated haphazardly and not important, or something that we can take or leave, or something that we can rail about its leaders, or about its worship, or about its people, we're in darkness. John says in 1 John, though he who says he loves his brother but hates his brother in his actions toward him is in darkness. If you don't treat your fellow man right, if you don't act toward him as Jesus teaches us to act, you're in darkness. I want you to go back to that scene. The scene in the tomb, the scene of the cross, the scene in the cave. Is your life in that darkness? Is your life more consumed with that darkness than with the light? Our world is dark. And most people in our world are dark. Many of them we may not think of in a common way as bad, but in a spiritual way, they're in darkness. They're blinded. They're in darkness. In the movie Schindler's List, there's a scene there with a little girl. You might have remembered that if you saw that movie from years back. And it's a very hard movie to watch because of its quality of showing the abuses done by Nazi Germany to the Jewish people and their extermination. But in that, there's a scene where a little girl is running across, and she's 3 years old. She's the only part of the movie that is in color. She has a red coat on, but everything else in the movie is in black and white. It's a ghetto scene where the Nazi SS troops are going through and cleaning out the ghetto where all the Jewish people lived. And so you see all this chaos going on, all this darkness going on, and they're even shooting some people, and they're rounding up and gathering up all of the Jewish inhabitants. This little girl is walking through it without any molestation, just moving right through the crowd as all this craziness is going on around her, and she's got this red coat on. And you find out that she's running to her apartment. She's going up and she's going to look for her parents. And up on a hillside, Schindler is watching with his wife. And Schindler is a member of the Nazi party. And he owns a factory. And up until this point in his life, true story, up until this point in his life, he's been focused upon money and power and selfish gain. And his conscience has not really been awakened to the problems. And though he's not been trying to exterminate the Jews, he's really not had a big problem with all this going on until he witnessed this scene. And that alerts him and awakens his social consciousness and his moral consciousness to what he is helping aid: the destruction and the murder of innocent people. And this little girl typifies and helps him realize that innocent people are being murdered. That this isn't right. So many people out there in our world today are in the darkness. And here's the thing. The story of the cross, the red blood that flowed from Calvary, is to be, and the gospel must always be, our moral
conscience that awakens us that we are sinners and that we are lost and that we need the blood of Jesus. And then it must awaken us and help us to see our own darkness and our own failures. And it must also help us realize that we need then the light of Jesus and that we can make a difference. You see, Schindler realized that his world, which was typified by all these people running around and gathering up all these Jewish people, was in darkness. And he thought, I may not be able to do a lot, but I can be a little light. If you look to John chapter 1, verse 5, John would say, the light shines in the darkness. Light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Schindler was able to save some 1,200 Jews from being murdered. From those, some 6,000, probably more now, descendants have come from those people who were not murdered. He made a difference. Jesus, the light of the world, came into a world filled with darkness, John says. And the darkness tried to put out the light of Jesus. It tried everything. In fact, it put him on a cross. It did everything it could. It scourged him. It humiliated him. It abused him. It ultimately killed him. The darkness of the world did it all. But what the gospel writers want us to know, they could never overcome the light because one light shines forth in the darkness. And now we're back to the tomb. That's what the resurrection is about. That's what Jesus is about. Jesus in his ministry was the breaking forth of light into the dark world. And on that first Sunday morning when Jesus was resurrected from the grave, and Christians from that point forward every Sunday have worship and celebrate that resurrection, because what it means is this: the light has not been overcome by darkness. And even though we live in a world that's filled with darkness, we live in a world where we have been darkness, we live in a world where we are often darkness, we can still have light because of Jesus. In fact, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You're a city set up on a hill. You're a candle that is not supposed to have a bushel put over it. You are the light of the world. And so we understand that light is to shine forth. Notice 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. The light shines out of darkness. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. What fellowship has light with darkness? Once we're light, why do we want anything to do with darkness? This is why we don't want to continue in our dark ways. This is why we want to put off all those things I talked about earlier, the sexual sins, the bad language, the selfishness, the pride, the arrogance, because we are now light. We don't have anything to do with darkness. Paul says, walk as children of light. And he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. What does light mean for you and I? Light means, notice the message of Paul that he was to communicate, that Paul was to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive, notice what light means, forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. And a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. In 1 Peter it says that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light.
each of us in our own lives. This is why baptism is the contacting of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In our own way, just as Jesus went through darkness on the cross and in the tomb, and just as Jesus went into light when he was resurrected and he came forth out of that grave, each one of us live in darkness in our lives of sin and death, and we're buried that old life, and we rise, and we come forth out of that water grave, and we go on to live in light. Here's the thing. Where are you this morning? Where are you? There's darkness and there's light. Maybe you in your own life are in a tomb. You're in darkness. And there's not a lot of light in you. And you're thinking, my life is filled with things and I feel overwhelmed with guilt and sorrow and darkness. Maybe there's just more of kind of the gray. Remember what Paul said? What fellowship has light with darkness? They're not supposed to be mixed. John in 1 John draws the line very plain. You're either in light or you're in darkness. Maybe you're just allowing your light to be diminished. And you're allowing a lot of darkness into your light so that people of the world don't see your light. And truthfully, there's equal parts darkness and light. And you need to come this morning and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to put the darkness out. I want to get the lies. I want to get the dishonesty. I want to get things out of my life that need to be out. Jesus broke into a world filled with darkness and was the light. And the scene of the cross and the grave, and then the scene of the rock being rolled away and that light coming in, that typifies, that symbolizes what Jesus was about. Bringing light into the lives of people who are filled with darkness. Remember what John 1:5 says? Darkness is not able to overcome light. You may be real discouraged this morning. I want you to know that if you've got a little bit of light left in you, if you've got a little bit of light, the darkness cannot snuff it out. It cannot stop it from shining. And then if you will fuel that light, if you will give that light some of the word, if you'll give that light some prayer, if you'll give that light some encouragement, if you'll light that fire some more, that light will grow. Because darkness, through the power of Jesus, cannot overcome light. The question is, do you have light in you? Are you ready to be morally awakened as Schindler was on the hill when he saw the red coat? Are you ready to be morally awakened by seeing the blood of Jesus and realize, I've got to change? And I've got to live for Him. And you've got to get the darkness out and put the light in. If you need to come out of your own tomb this morning and come to the light as together we stand and sing. I can't